I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Leviticus chapter 23, the list of the Feast of Jehovah. We'll be looking at number 5, the Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus chapter 23. When you look at that chapter, we've done them in order. In March, we looked at the Passover, symbolic of Jesus, the Lamb of God. We looked at unleavened bread. Jesus was the bread of life. We looked at first fruits. Jesus was the first to rise from the dead, the first fruits of them that sleep. And so we looked at four feasts there. We looked at the Feast of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. The Holy Spirit came down. The two loaves with leaven, the Gentiles and the Jews combined into the church. So the first fall feast is the Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus chapter 23, this is called Rosh Hashanah. That's Hebrew, it means the head of the year, Jewish New Year. And today, this week, it falls on Wednesday, Rosh Hashanah. The Jews have been celebrating Rosh Hashanah for 2,200 years, Jewish New Year. They called it in the Bible here the Feast of Trumpets, Leviticus 23. Verse 23 starts it, Leviticus 23:23, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shalt thou have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." It's a Sabbath. Now, a Sabbath can be a Saturday or it can be any holy day, any day of the week. So no matter what day this falls on, and it'll fall on Wednesday this week, it's a holy Sabbath, and they are not allowed to work. I want to talk about four or five things this morning. One, I want to talk about it being a convocation of Israel. All Israel is gathered together for this. Now, the seventh day is the Sabbath day, the day of rest. But there are other sevens in the Bible. This is called the heptadic structure of Scripture, the number sevens all over the place. So this is not the seventh day. This is the seventh month. This is a sabbatical month. And in it, you have the three feasts. You have the Feast of Trumpets, you have the Day of Atonement, and you have the Feast of Tabernacles. They are all symbolic of the second coming of Jesus. So this is a New Year celebration. People out in the world, heathens, we would call them, celebrate New Year's with drinking and sin and celebration and everything else. I won't be into school tomorrow because it's New Year's Eve. I'll be too drunk to come to class. Well, you're underage anyway. What's that problem, you know? But yeah, that's the way they celebrate. The way the Jews celebrate is joy for a new year and being solemn about God being God in heaven. It says here it's supposed to be a memorial. The word memorial means something that causes you to remember. A memorial. What are they supposed to be remembering? They're supposed to be remembering the past and how God delivered them. It's a solemn day. It begins the year. They repent for the past year of sins. And they have hope for the future. Now, they also celebrate it by what they eat. They eat honey and apples. They eat anything that's round. Pumpkins, pomegranates, round things. They eat sweets. Okay, if you were here Wednesday night a week ago, we had Jewish honey cake for dessert, one of the desserts. They eat foods that are gold-colored, like carrots. And they greet each other by saying, Shana Tova. Happy New Year. So this is the convocation of Israel. They use challah bread, and usually it's three strands woven together. Then they bake it in the oven, then they slice it, then they eat it. Now, why three strands? Well, the rabbis say the three strands are symbolic in that loaf of bread. Number one, it honors the kingship of God. God is king over everything. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth shows forth his handiwork. It's a day of remembrance, remembering what God did for you. And then it's the revelation of God. Moses went up on the mountain, Exodus 19:19. The Bible says, And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. So the trumpet sounds, and God speaks. And so they celebrate it. There was a Jewish rabbi 1,100 years ago in Babylon, Saadia Gaon. He was a rabbinical scholar, and he said there are really 10 reasons why they blow the shofar. Number one, trumpets are sounding at a coronation, and God is hailed as king to this day. Number two, the shofar heralds the beginning of the penitential season. 10 days between Rosh Hashanah, Day of Atonement, Jews are to repent of their sins and turn back to God. The Torah was given on Sinai, accompanied by blasts of the shofar. I just read that to you. The prophets compared their message to the sound of the shofar. The conquering armies that destroyed the temple sounded trumpet blasts. The ram was substituted for Isaac. Remember, Abraham was ready to sacrifice Isaac, and the angel said, "Do no harm." God provided a substitute, and it was a ram, which is why they use the ram's horn today. Prophet asks in Amos 3:6, "As the trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people tremble?" Zephaniah speaks of the great day of the Lord with the great day of the trumpet and the battle cry. The prophet Isaiah says the great shofar, the great trumpet, will herald in the coming of the Messiah, and the shofar will be sounded at the resurrection of the dead. So the emphasis on the ram's horn. The gathering of Israel. They gathered together Israel when they blew the trumpet, and when God blows the final trumpet, Israel will be regathered together. Ezekiel chapter 36. You have Ezekiel 36, 24 through 26. "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of the countries. I will gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. For then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. A new heart will I give unto you, and a new spirit I will give unto you." Now, the trumpet blast is talked about in Isaiah 27, 13. "It shall come to pass in that day," that is the great day of the Lord, "that the great trumpet," the great shofar, "shall be blown. And they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem." So just as the shofar gathers Jews for the convocation, the great shofar will sound and Israel will be regathered to the land. So you have the convocation of Israel, you have the call of the trumpet. I looked through the Bible for the different ways they used the trumpet. What did the trumpet do when they used it? They used the trumpet in worship. Over and over again in the Bible it says, "Sound the trumpet." They blew the trumpet over sacrifices in Numbers. They blew the trumpet at worship in the temple, 2 Chronicles 5. In fact, 120 priests were blowing 120 trumpets at one time when they dedicated the temple in Jerusalem. Ezra 3:10, when they rebuilt the temple, the shofar was sounded, the trumpet was sounded. So they used it in worship. They used it as a warning. Ezekiel 13 talks about the watchman on the wall, and it says when the watchman sees the enemy approaching, he is to sound the shofar, the trumpet. It's used in war. Numbers 10, call to war. Joshua 6, they marched around Jericho and blew the shofars. Judges 3, Ehud raises up the children of Israel against Moab, who had conquered them. And Ehud said, "Sound the trumpet throughout the land. Raise the army. We're going to fight for our freedom." 1 Samuel 13 says that Saul, King Saul, blew the trumpet throughout all Israel to gather the army to fight the Philistines. So it's used in worship. It's used as a warning. It's used in war. Used in the work of coronation. When they crowned a new king, they sounded the trumpet. The trumpet will sound and King Jesus will come back is what's going to happen. But in 1 Kings 1, they sounded the trumpet when Solomon was crowned king of Israel. 2 Kings 9, they sounded the trumpet when Jehu was crowned king of Israel. And so you have the trumpet in worship, the trumpet as a warning, the trumpet in war, the trumpet in the work of coronation, and the trumpet when God begins to judge the world. The trumpet shall sound. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, if when he seeth the sword cometh upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not the warning. But this is the great day of the Lord. Zephaniah, in the white pages of our Bible, because we never go there. When was the last time you had a Sunday school lesson on Zephaniah? Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. Hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and a day of wrath. Then Zechariah chapter 9, full of messianic prophecies. The Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet and shall go with whirlwinds of the south, and the Lord of hosts shall defend them. This is getting ready for the great battle of Armageddon. God is going to fight for his people. So it's used in wrath and in judgment. But the commencement of the day of the Lord, the convocation of Israel, the call of the trumpet, the commencement is Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord openeth, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And it goes on. The day of the Lord, when God begins the final judgment of the world, God's going to regather his people with the sound of the trumpet. God's going to initiate the day of the Lord with the sound of the trumpet, and God's final judgment on the earth is going to begin. And he's going to defend his people, the Jews. Now, the day of the Lord is the final trumpet. So the last thing is the coming of Jesus. The coming of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The second coming of Jesus, the rapture of the church during the great tribulation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the Lord shall descend, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall be incorruptible. For this corruption must put on incorruption. The day of the Lord, Jesus comes back at the sound of the trumpet. It's interesting what the book of Revelation says. The book of Revelation has seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet is Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel, he's got the seventh trumpet, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. The trumpet shall sound, and it will. So you have the convocation of Israel, the trumpet called Israel, to begin the new year. You have the call of the trumpet. It was used for war. It was used for worship. You have the commencement of the day of the Lord, the great shofar, the great trumpet will sound when God begins his final judgment on earth. And then you have the second coming of Jesus. The trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised. And so those are all here in the Feast of Trumpets. And I wish Jewish people could see all that in the Bible. Now, does God still have a plan? What does it say to Jews? It says they need to repent. They need to repent and turn to their Messiah. Most Jews I know do not read the Bible, and they do not believe there's a God, and they do not believe there's a life after this life. But they're Jews, so they practice Judaism. And that would be all of the Jews I know and have talked to are in that state today. But the Jews need to be reminded of God's covenant. God still has the Jewish people as his chosen people. Romans 11:25 says that the blindness that Israel has now is for a season. Jews are blinded for a season till the fullness of the Gentiles come. But God still has a plan for the Jewish people. That's the message of Romans 9:10-11, right in the middle of the book of Romans. God still has a plan for the Jewish people. They need to prepare for the Day of Atonement. They need to repent and accept Jesus as their Messiah. And I'm grateful that we have Jewish rabbis like Ron Goldman that came and spoke to us, a Jew who has found his Messiah. And they need to be reconciled to God. They will when he comes back. It says they shall look upon him whom they pierced and they shall weep. And then they're going to see the light, okay, because he is the light. What does it say for us? First of all, God wants us to be working. It's a call to work and it's a call to war. You know, back in the Garden of Eden, God cursed the snake. And he said there was always going to be anger and enmity and hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And we're still seeing that alive today. We're seeing the seed of the woman, the church, and the seed of the serpent, the world, fighting each other. And it is a constant battle. Last week in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, a school teacher played 20 seconds of Handel's Messiah in her classroom, and some atheist protested. And basically, the school board told them to go pound sand. The lady said, we were studying the Renaissance, the 1700s. Handel was one of the greatest composers of that time. I played 20 minutes of one of his songs. Get over it. And the school board backed her up, okay? They didn't have thousands of little kids in elementary school being forced to become Christians because they played 20 seconds of Handel's Messiah. We're in a battle, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan, and we need to know the trumpet call is a trumpet call to war. It is a trumpet call to judgment, and the Feast of Trumpets speaks to that today. Now, a lot of people think, rabbis teach that when Messiah comes, he will come on the Feast of Trumpets. Because that's, you sound the trumpet when you coronate a king as king. When you place the crown on his head and he becomes king, you sound the trumpet. So a lot of Bible scholars think maybe Jesus will come 1 year at the Day of Trumpets. You know, the four blood moons didn't work out too well, so we're going with the Feast of Trumpets now. And I say that facetiously. Why? Because no man knows the hour when the Lord cometh. You know, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And all these guys are thinking and figuring, so it's probably not going to happen. Because it's when we're thinking not, the Son of Man cometh. But Jesus will come back one day, and he will judge the world. And we need to work for him until it happens. There was a godly politician. There used to be people like that. A godly politician, okay? And someone asked him one time, what kind of government do we need to straighten out the world? And he said, a strong dictator. And they questioned that. They said, your dictator would have to be a Superman, one with perfect understanding of civic and economic understanding problems, genius to meet the opposition, resolve the fears of people who doubt and oppose him. It would be impossible for a human to be the dictator that straightens out the world. He said, I know it, but we're looking for such a man. He's going to come, and his name is Jesus. the Lord Jesus will come back. He will sit on the throne of his father David. He will be recognized by the Jewish people as their Messiah. The great trumpet will sound, and the world will be changed. And that's our promise from the Word of God. The Rosh Hashanah, when Jewish people are celebrating, I had a chance this week, I ordered a book from a lady, and she says, well, I'm Jewish, and I have this book too, blah, blah, blah. So I emailed her back and said, yeah, I'll buy that book from you. And by the way, are you recorded in the Book of Life? Because this is the one time during the year that Jews think about, are they recorded in Yahweh's Book of Life? And she never answered me back. Maybe I hurt her feelings. But you know, when you hurt feelings, where are they going to go? Hell number two, hell number three. They're already on their road to hell. If a little hurt feelings gets the point across, then that's okay with me, okay? But the trumpet will sound, and Jesus will come back. And they will be sounding the trumpets on Wednesday, the day of the new year. Our invitation hymn, if you've not accepted Jesus as your Messiah, you can do that.